So I'm going to start with township related items. So this past Tuesday, council met for the very first time online using Zoom. The meeting was posted online through the media platforms of both Facebook and YouTube. And future meetings will hopefully find other means for residents to access them. For those who wish to see the recording of that particular meeting, I do believe it was posted to the Amherst Island Buy and Sell Facebook page. And of course, you can find it through the township's media through Loyalists' website. It was not an overly extensive agenda, only two items, both important. The first was to pass a bylaw that enables council to meet online during an emergency, which is a provision currently not within our procedural bylaw, although it is now, and something which the current provincial government had legislated to allow for municipal councils to do. So having passed the bylaw, council will now continue to meet online through the duration of the emergency. And the next meeting is scheduled for the 27th, and at that time, a schedule of meetings going forward will be determined. The second item was to receive a report by our CAO, Stephen Silver, with respect to an updated summary of the township's response to COVID-19. And I would encourage residents to access that for a good précis, so to speak. Mr. Silver has without doubt been a stalwart presence throughout, and his administrative and professional skills have been on full display, particularly in how quickly and efficiently Loyalists adapted to the necessary changes coming down the pipe. Many have lauded the work of frontline workers. Indeed, I have regularly whenever I've got the opportunity, because it is very much appropriate. But it's also appropriate to name the hard work of those in key positions of responsibility who are under a great deal of pressure. And so on this occasion, I think it's important, in light of that report, to give a shout out to our CAO and his senior staff, all of whom have made us as residents proud and safe to be in Loyalist. Returning to the meeting, that report was received for information. It was further motioned that Loyalist Township request the provincial government to issue formal restrictions and/or guidelines pertaining to travel within the province, such that local government can advise residents, notably seasonal residents and cottagers, appropriately and with authority. After a general discussion, a motion was made that at some point in the future, a review of the township's emergency plan take place. The motivation of the motion was simply in recognition of the fact that we are in unprecedented circumstances, and the nature of this emergency has presented both unique challenges and unique opportunities to reflect upon. Whilst it is not expected that anything fundamental will change in the emergency plan, for instance, it remains important that the Emergency Operations Center stays limited in membership to those with specific training and expertise, that nevertheless the novel availability of online meetings may create opportunities to improve streamlined communication, critical input, and consistent messaging as it pertains to council and its role during times of emergency. In the meantime, of course, the Emergency Operations Center has worked and continues to work extremely well, and Mayor Brzee continues to keep council well informed and abreast of all relevant matters discussed therein. Now to COVID-19. Currently in KFLNA, as of this morning, there are 55 positive cases of COVID-19 in our region, with 51 of those cases resolved. There is no one in hospital, and thus no one in intensive care or on ventilation. It thus remains that our region has continued to see a plateau in new cases, indicating the effectiveness of our local measures to address the pandemic. So I want to thus encourage residents to continue to hold the line. I know people are tired, irritable, and impatient with the strict measures now in place. All of us are suffering in various ways and to various degrees, and I dare to suggest that most of us are experiencing symptoms of some form of mental strain. There will soon be light at the end of the tunnel. Citizens can soon expect various levels of government to begin to publish roadmaps to recovery from this pandemic and the gradual relaxation of measures now in place. Soon, but not yet. It's still very important, I think, for those in public office, especially in municipal government where elected officials are in close and regular communication with citizens, that those leaders take every opportunity to resist the advance of false and erroneous information, information that may have dire consequences. Naturally, I have and continue to direct residents to the township website, to Kingston, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington Public Health, and the County of Lennox and Addington for official information and guidance, as well as the websites of the Government of Canada and the Government of Ontario. And I'm grateful to all of those agencies for the information they provide. However, I'm also aware that we are all exposed to outside information in the wider media, which we are accessing more of, given that we are at home indefinitely. And even for the most discerning minds, there is still the possibility for adverse influence in the oversaturated media that we are exposed to. Of concern to me, I have personally looked with some horror at coverage of protesters south of the border protesting various local and state governments for the implementation of social distancing measures and other efforts to combat COVID-19. We've not seen much of that develop here, but in recognition of the fact that we share the frustrations of being isolated and distanced, I wanted to use the privilege of my platform to encourage us to stay the course. Those who are protesting in such ways are not exercising their democratic rights to protest. What they are doing in physical terms is endangering their own lives and those of others. In political terms, they are abdicating their personal responsibility to hold up their end of the social contract. The concept of social contract underpins every democratic society, the basic premise being that we as citizens forfeit certain independences and resources to the state in exchange for shared benefits. The relevant clause in our social contract is the state is providing us with a fully funded healthcare system that will be available to intervene to save our lives when we need it to. What the state has asked in exchange is that we listen to our public health authority and simply stay home and not go out unless it's necessary and not visit friends or family for the time being. That is a good deal. What it is not is state overreach. We can be proud in KFLNA that we have proven the worthiness and the effectiveness of a functioning social contract. The only reason we have plateaued the spread of the virus here is because we have all done our part. We have proven to ourselves that social distancing works, that listening to public health advice works. In epidemiological terms, there is no gray area with this virus. Those who were offhand about this virus initially have been proven wrong. Boris Johnson, for instance, had bragged about his insistence on continuing to shake hands. He contracted the virus and nearly lost his life. Gerald Glenn, a pastor in Virginia, who refused to abide by the restrictions on numbers in gatherings, did die of the virus. The point I'm making is that the brash and the cavalier have been humbled. The cautious and the socially compliant have been vindicated. We in KFLNA are the latter. We can be proud as citizens that we have proven to ourselves beyond doubt that our measures work. So for all the garbage out there in the media, and for the evidence that some people elsewhere are foolishly resisting these measures, let us make sure that we continue to hold the line. It won't last forever. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and we want as many of us as possible to bathe in its rays. Stay strong, folks.